Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr, and every week we feature a guest from the world of music, food, the arts, entertainment, or pop culture from the Jersey Shore or far beyond. So today, we're actually a little beyond the Jersey Shore. We're going west. We're going right to Philadelphia. And I'm very excited today because my guest is Alexis Warner. And Alexis, honestly, is really one of the most accomplished women that you could ever meet. When she was 15 years old, a freshman in high school, she founded Seeds of Hope, which is an organization that was dedicated to helping veterans who struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, when she graduated from high school, she received the Jefferson Award for Public Service and a $10,000 scholarship from the Anne Frank Foundation, which she is using right now. She is a student at Temple University in Philadelphia. She is a sophomore. And these days, Alexis is also a filmmaker. So we're going to talk about her film as well. We have a lot of things to talk about. But Alexis and I share an interesting bond in that we both know what it's like to live with someone who struggles with post-traumatic stress disorder. In Alexis's case, it was her stepfather. For me, it was my ex-husband. And I think, well, first of all, Alexis, thank you so much for being with me. This is really my pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
again.
I'm so happy to have you. Yes, well, You've earned a place of honor on Jersey Coastal Live. I would have you back anytime. It's exciting to catch up with you. But you know, it is interesting. We have this unique bond about post-traumatic stress disorder, and of course, you know that I have a soft spot for that because when someone in the family is suffering for it, naturally it affects the entire family. So you know that only too well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, first of all, okay, so you're a student in Temple University in Philadelphia, so you're a sophomore. So how's that going? How do you like it?
Everyone said sophomore year was going to be really hard because, you know, you're moving into your own place and, you know, the classes aren't intro anymore. I have to say the exact opposite. This year has been really incredible, and my class load has been amazing. I've had really great professors and making a lot of connections with people at the university level on a personal level and for Seeds. So it's been really amazing.
And now you've not had to declare a major at this point, but what sorts of classes are you taking? What are you leaning towards?
Well, right now I'm an entrepreneurship major through the business school. And so I'm taking a lot of general business classes, so risk management, marketing, business communications. And they're all actually really interesting this semester, which is different from previous years.
Now, are you leaning towards a particular field that you think you might like to be when you graduate?
When I graduate, I'm hoping to be a part of either the nonprofit and foundation field or in corporate responsibility. So using a little bit of the business background in a different setting.
Well, Alexis, I have no doubt you will do whatever you set your mind to because you've already accomplished more than a lot of other people at, you know, your the tender age of 20. Very, very impressive. So, you know what? Let's talk a little bit about Seeds of Hope. That's an organization you founded when you were in high school. And I'm wondering how is that going on in your absence? Or are you still a big part of it?
So, yeah, I mean, when I graduated, we did everything we could because I didn't have anyone to take over the program that I felt comfortable enough to hand something so important to me off to. My senior year into my freshman year of college, I really worked effortlessly to try and make all of our programs self-sustaining so they could go on without needing me. So I would call it a success. We still have Fisher House Foundation locations that are using the gardens. You know, we don't fund them anymore. They do their own funding. But the initial garden setup is there, and the initial kind of initiative, I guess, is there. With the books, we still send them out to different elementary schools. We have a lot of requests for them. I don't really market them as much anymore. But people mm-hmm. just find out from the website, and I get these random emails from all over the country that says, can you send me 20 copies of your books? And it's always interesting because it's like out of the blue.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell all the listeners, you don't have to worry about memorizing anything, because as soon as we're done, I will put up my blog and I will link to Seeds of Hope and all of that, all of the other information. So you'll be able to just go online and check it out for yourself. Very good. So I'm glad that you kind of still have, you know, your fingers in the pot, so to speak, and that the organization is still around, because it was doing really, I think, wonderful, you know, the wonderful work that was happening. And of course,
well,
now, oh gosh, and so now that you're a student, I remember even way back when we first spoke, you kind of gave me an inkling about a film project that you were going to be working on, or maybe had you already started working on that film project?
We had just, so it's funny, right, the way life works, I guess. So we started the project, Our Way Home, my junior year of high school, so this was 2013, and we were going to do all student-produced, student-edited, and, well, that didn't work out very well because the student who happened to be doing all of our filming lost all of the tapes of, like, I'm saying 20 hours of footage with veterans from World War II until today. So, you know, we're sitting here, and when I say we, I'm referring to my mentor, Greg Geets, from the University of Pittsburgh. So we're sitting here, and I'm like, Greg, we don't have any of the tapes. What are we going to do? We just put, like, hours and hours, and we wrote the screen. Mm-hmm. Like, what to do, right? And he goes, well, I don't know. Do you want to keep doing it? And, you know, really left the ball in my court. And I said, absolutely. So reached out to Heather Haar, who is with the Hear Me Project at in Pittsburgh. And she had been working on some type of film adventured as well, and mm-hmm. really got me connected in that circle, and introduced me to Christina, who is he's a cinematographer based out of Pittsburgh, and has done things on various topics. And she said, you need to meet this guy. Maybe he'll work with you, because we were running on a really low budget. And mm-hmm. for documentaries, if anyone knows anything about them, they can get really costly. And we were running on a $12,000 budget. And so I talked to Chris, and I said, Chris, I need to talk to you. He goes, okay. So I'm explaining what we're trying to do. And his grandfather was a World War II vet. And I think this really hit home with him as well. He cared about the project.
Okay.
He's invested in it. So it went from Chris, okay, can you just film what we're doing, to he was really ended up producing the film with me and directing the film with me, and we were a tag team. So we got professionals really to take care of the filming and the lights and the editing, and we hired a first-year college student to do all the marketing and the public relations, mm-hmm. And here we are, and we're a team, right? And we worked for like 2.5 years. We just finished the editing process like November 1st, 2015, and the premiere was November 12th, 2015. So everything's wrapped up, and I mean, 2 years later, here's this 54 minutes long documentary about post-traumatic stress.
So let's backtrack a little bit. The germ of the idea for this documentary, which is about you're following, is it 9 veterans going from World War II to current days, and you're getting their experiences through interviews of post-traumatic stress. And so where did this idea all come from?
So when I was a freshman in high school, going into my freshman year, my stepfather came home with very severe post-traumatic stress. And that's what sparked the idea of Seeds of Hope, with doing victory gardens mm-hmm. for veterans who couldn't necessarily afford fresh fruits and vegetables, and doing a children's book to educate youth on the importance of veteran appreciation and volunteering. And then for me, I think personally, I was finally ready to tackle post-traumatic stress. And what better way to do that than visually, and what better way to do that than personal accounts and kind of
piecing
together the different stories. And that's what started it.
Now, you were you took on the job of director and producer. And so tell me about that. How was that? That's something new for you.
Yeah, I was learning everything off of from Chris. Thank. Oh my goodness, he was so great to me. He taught me everything I know about film. Between him and Google, I was really learning. Like,
hey,
what am I supposed to do? Right,
Google. Right, there you go.
So, and I really took on that role, and I began getting really comfortable with it. But at first, you know, what questions do we ask? You know, you can't just sit down and say,
mm-hmm.
well, tell me your story, and we'll edit it later. And I think that's how I went into this process. And through so many interviews and so many hours of filming, we started seeing, like, okay, this isn't going to work. We're going to need a set of questions. We're going to need to see how people respond and make sure that they're comfortable. And there were a lot of factors that really worked in with what we were trying to do that I never accounted for. So, you know, when a World War II veteran starts crying on film about his time at Dachau, because you're one of the first people to really talk with him about it outside of his family.
Yes. And I remember that.
What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do? Do you let him cry? Do you hold? Like, that was one of the biggest challenges for me, was, you know, learning to be able to just sit there and kind of rub their knee and say, it's, you know, you can talk about it. It's, you know, it's over. And, you know, or if you're not comfortable with it, you're not comfortable with it. But really having those conversations with people so much older than me
mm-hmm.
was something that I had to learn.
Now, how did you find these people? How did you find the people to interview?
Word of mouth. So Pittsburgh's a really well-connected city.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone kind of knows everyone for being a decent-sized city. And so, for instance, we met our World War II veteran at a library when they were doing book donations. We different veteran events. I was reaching out to every veteran organization in Pittsburgh saying, you know, if you have anyone who fits this criteria, anyone who is suffering with any kind of post-traumatic stress
mm-hmm.
or has a homecoming story that they'd be willing to share, please contact them. And it's funny, I reached out to 109, I believe, female
mm-hmm.
veterans, because by the end of this summer, which, I mean, we'd been a year and a half into filming, by the end of the summer, we didn't have any females. And we reached out to organizations that really worked with female veterans, and so many of them were so uncomfortable to be able to tell their stories.
Really?
So, again, another hurdle, but just really relationship building with veterans in different settings.
Well, I remember there was a female, she was a nurse, and she was the only female, I think, right?
There were two. So there was a helicopter mechanic.
Yes,
so Macy.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And they both, I met them both at the Stand Down Convention in Pittsburgh, two different years, but I met them both through the Stand Down, which is a kind of a big event that pulls every veteran organization in the Western Pennsylvania area together, and you give out your information, and the VA
mm-hmm.
does services right on the spot, and there are service dogs, and it's really incredible.
Now, what was the biggest challenge after you got these people together? And, you know, before I even ask you that, one thing that I did observe, you know, from watching the movie, there were a couple of the older veterans especially, and they said, and I think one of them was the gentleman who was crying, who had seen, who had liberated the concentration camp, Dachau, that he had never discussed this with his wife. She knew nothing about his experience. And didn't she say, even on film, this is the first time that I'm hearing about this? And I guess the interesting thing about that is how close to the vest these people are keeping this, you know, their story. They don't share it with anyone, even their wives, their closest, their closest people. That's how strongly they're affected. And for that gentleman to be, still crying and so emotional years later, because I guess that's something you just never forget, ever. And the other one who made a strong impression on me watching, a younger guy, I don't remember if it was, maybe it was Afghanistan or Iraq, but he was just very like nervous and jumpy. And he said, I'm having a really hard time focusing. You know, he sees, I guess the crew moving around, and he just had a very hard time, kind of keeping himself still and focused. But these are, these are all part of the symptoms of what's ailing them.
Right. And that was one thing I really appreciated with everyone that let us interview them, was that they were completely transparent with us. I mean, my stepfather was the one who said, I have a really hard time focusing when you guys are all moving in the background.
That was your stepfather. Okay. Yes.
So, and even, with opening up, and a lot of them, Macy talking about her sexual assault on the military base on American soil, I mean, we were the first people outside of, I believe, the hospital that knew. And, I mean, she was so open to sharing, and I really appreciated that. And I felt, I was really excited that they were sharing these stories with me, and I felt really, really amazing. It was a great feeling that they could be that transparent.
I wondered when I was watching it, how did you ever even narrow it down to those 9 people?
I'd ask, so when we meet people, I'd ask their stories. And anyone who had any type of post-traumatic stress, any era, coming from any background, we would interview. And even if they were only in the film for a few seconds, their story was a part of a bigger picture. So we didn't cut anyone. Everyone who we interviewed was in the film.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So tell me about your role as director. What did you find yourself doing as director?
Everything. I was lucky enough to be really so well connected with the nonprofit world throughout high school that so even when I entered college, those connections stayed the same. So when I was in high school, I had a call from someone who I used to work with, and she said, "I met this woman. You need to go meet her." And I said, "What do you mean?" And she goes, I won't say her name because I don't know if she's comfortable with it. But she said, "She wants to talk to you." I said, "Okay." And she was pretty high up in a Fortune 500 company. And she says, I said, "Okay, I guess I'm going to New York." So I hop on a megabus and I go up to New York at 17 years old for this interview or whatever it is supposed to be. And she ends up being a woman who's running their veteran initiative at this company. And she says, I have a meeting to go to, but give me a pitch of what you're doing. I'd love to hear about it. So I give her, my shaky pitch as I'm honestly shaking.
Yeah.
You're so nervous. and she goes, "You know what? That all sounds really good. And the paperwork for this for the company to do donations is wild." She said, "So instead, how about I just write you a check from my family to the organization?" And she writes me a $10,000 check and goes, "Good luck."
Oh my God, Alexis, look at that.
Yeah, so that was, duties weren't like set in stone. They were things like that.
Yeah.
Creating a website and running the social media campaigns and writing the film and trying to do the editing. And I'm sitting in my college dorm room with a post-it notepad. And Chris, I swear Chris will never forgive me for this. I'm writing down, through every hour of footage, I'm writing down the sequence of how I want the film to look on pink post-it notes. And then I stapled them all together of, 2 pads. And the next time we met, I said, "Chris, this is what I want the film to look like."
There's your film,
and he goes,
right.
He goes, "Oh, okay." and he was so amazing with it.
What were some of the big challenges that you encountered being producer, director, putting this together, because you're dealing with so many different personalities to put this movie together. So what was really challenging for you?
I would say the most challenging part was really after we'd gotten the trailer, sending it to people and receiving the criticism, because you had to really, there are some people who have a certain definition of what post-traumatic stress is. And the way I've gone into this whole film is that there is no right or wrong, and there is no set definition. There are symptoms, and but everyone experiences it differently. So taking the criticisms, and I sent the 100 people over, and you know, you get criticism, well, this doesn't look good because he shouldn't be holding up his Purple Heart. And you have to learn, you know, what is appropriate and what to disregard. And that was difficult, especially being 19, 20 years old and getting getting all this criticism, both positive and negative, but from people in their 40s and 50s and 60s saying, okay, well, I don't like this or I like that. Well, just because you don't like it doesn't mean that it's not important to the film.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That was really difficult with me, was kind of keeping the vision of where we want it to go. You know, a lot of people said include the issues with the VA, and that wasn't where our film team was trying to go. I didn't want to include that, because that took away from what post-traumatic stress is. You know, the VA can be a resource, but that's not anything that I feel comfortable talking about, and that wasn't the point. So really giving veterans a platform to speak about what they're going through, that was the overall goal, not working to talk about issues with the VA or with programming or with medication. So again, just sticking with that main idea.
Well, if giving veterans a platform was your goal, I would certainly say you met that goal and then some. And I, you know, when you put yourself out there and you ask people to give you feedback, yeah, that's part of the deal. You know, you get the good, bad, and the ugly. But you stuck to your guns, obviously, and you made the film that, you know, you kept to your vision. I think that's important as a filmmaker, because something tells me this is your first film, but not your last film. Yeah.
We'll see. There's some other ideas.
Alexis,
in the back of the head.
What is your thought now that the film is done and you have a premiere? It premiered in Pittsburgh, but you've got a big premiere coming up in Philadelphia in about a week. And so how do you feel about this whole thing that you put together? This is like your, you know, like your baby here.
I thought, okay, now that the first premiere in Pittsburgh's over, I won't be so nervous about the next one, but I'm completely nervous. You know, how are people going to take it? And, you know, there's a three or four part program. So, you know, we have the film, and that's amazing. And that's really what the foundation. But then with every screening comes a discussion panel. And that's equally as important, because that's opening the platform up for the audience to talk about the issues and to really reflect on what's going on. In addition to that, we're writing a curriculum with the Pennsylvania Social Studies Department to send to high schools and to colleges, and then also using the website as a place to direct veterans and their families to other resources is also underway. So,
that's fantastic.
So I'm a little... Yes.
Wow, that's very exciting. So, gee, you're not just sitting back resting on your laurels, that's for sure. So I saw that, and to let our listeners know, I will on the promo, I did put a link to the trailer so people can watch it. You had like a five-minute trailer, and I'll put that on my blog again. But your website for Our Way Home was really extensive, had a lot of information, and I see that you're hoping to be able to offer it at very reasonable prices so it can be screened in various locations, whether it's schools or for veterans groups. Do you think you'll find your way into any film festivals?
I'm hoping. The first, I'd like to get at least 10 screenings under my belt before the end of this upcoming summer, and then go from there. So I'm looking forward to screening at universities, at military bases, at military organizations nationwide. But right now, we're focusing in on these initial few screenings to really kind of perfect the process.
Mm-hmm. So now that you've done this movie, produced and direct your first film, so how have you, now, of course, you've lived with post-traumatic stress disorder, but going through this process and meeting all these different people, different ages, different wars, so how did it change your thoughts about post-traumatic stress disorder?
It makes it a lot more real as far as, you know, I saw what my stepfather was going through. And, you know, and that's great as far as, you know, it really does give you some type of inkling of what a lot of other people are going through. But when you're seeing the individual level stories and you're kind of, you're coming together as a community, you know, so Al Zimmerman's family and my family have this commonality. And towards the end of the process, the filming process, when we were done and we were just editing, we took all of the veterans and everyone else who was involved in the filmmaking and took them out to lunch. And seeing, because they'd never met before, but they were going to be on this journey with us. And seeing that everyone interact was really, that was one of the most amazing experiences I'd had up until that point, because, you know, you can talk about the amount of stress for person A versus person B, but when you have them all sitting together and they don't feel alone and they don't feel like they have to be super strong about, you know, not talking about it or, you know, forgetting about it. When they're talking about the issues and they're really reflecting back on their personal journeys, but together, it solidifies everything that we've done over the past 2 years, and it makes it all so worth it.
Do you recall what was the age range of the veterans that you you interviewed?
Late 20s to early 80s, I believe.
Yeah, okay, that's a wide range. And to think that so many generations have had to deal with this really horrible, horrible situation. Wow, you know, you did something terrific, Alexis. You really did.
Well, thank
really,
you.
Congratulations on this. So for the premiere in Philadelphia, what is the group that you're going to be screening for?
So we will be screening Monday the 29th at the Fox Rothschild Center for Law and Society, which is at the Community College of Philadelphia. So right in Philly from 10:20 until 12:30. We'll have a discussion panel, and there's a whole day of events going on. And it's a free event, which is even better, right? So anyone's more than welcome to come. If they need more information, please feel free to reach out to myself, to the website, and we can provide that for you. But I look forward to having as many people as possible see the work we're doing and hopefully take something away from it.
And did you say that all the information about the screening is going to be on our Way Home's website?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I will definitely put a link for that as well so people can see for themselves. Well, Alexis, we are almost out of time. It goes so quickly. It was really just such an honor for me to catch up with you again. And, of course, we will catch up yet again as you get further into your into your work, and you're just doing wonderful things with your lives. I'm excited for you. So, Alexis,
well, thank you
Werner,
so much for being a part of
my pleasure. My pleasure. Alexis Werner, from a student at Temple University, a filmmaker, Our Way Home. She produced and she directed, and a big premiere on Monday night. So, can 30 minutes change your life? Well, it definitely can. So please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. So I'm Andrea Tarr, and until next time, I look forward to, you know, to catching up with someone else who's got a great story to tell. But meanwhile, Alexis, thanks for being my guest today, and I will be in touch with you very soon. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.